Joy is my expectation that no matter what I'm dealing with, my God, your God, our God is going to do something extraordinary.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
I want to start a series of lessons today on the subject, choices that create joy for your life. Choices that create joy for my life. Come on, let's personalize it. Choices that create. So you will notice that there are some things that destroy joy. There are some things that drains it. If one exists, some things can what? Drain your joy. And today I want to take the time to walk you through the Christmas story. We'll be looking at the life of Mary today. Next week, I'll look at the life of Joseph, and then I'll look at the life of the wise men. You will notice that all three individuals did something very, very important. They made choices that brought joy into their lives. But we will first of all look at the lives that they have, and you will notice that their lives were full of trouble and anxiety. And today, I want to address the anxiety and the stress that comes with Christmas. But this lesson is also good for the rest of your life, because anxiety never shows up only at this period. Some of you may already be stressed before you're coming to Christmas, all right? And after Christmas, stress may still exist. But we want to go through God's word together. Are you ready to go on the journey with me? Choices that create joy in my life. Choices. And we will look at Sister Mary today. We will use as a foundational text the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I want you to read with me because I am reading from a different translation today. I'm reading from what is called the God's Word Translation. Luke chapter 2 from verses 8 to verse 11. Please read with me. Ready? Go. Shepherds were in the fields near Bethlehem. They were taking turns watching their flock during the night. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to them. The glory of the Lord filled the area with light, and they were terrified. Verse 10, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you. A message that will fill everyone with joy." Verse 11, today, your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in the David city. Amen. So notice how these few verses about Christmas, and this where the shepherds, you know how we sing the song, "While shepherds watch their flocks by night," right? This is what verses are about, that these shepherds were on the field and they were taking care of their sheep. The scripture says an angel of the Lord was dispatched from heaven. He came down and he gave them the news. But what is important to me is in verse 10. Please put up verse 10 again. And he said these words to them. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." Everybody say that with me. And he says, "I have good news for you." What is that news? Says a message that will fill everyone with joy. You would all agree with me that he brought the news of the birth of a child. Anytime a child is born, come on, parents, everybody is excited, right? But most of the time, that joy is only confined to that family. But here we are going to have a child who will be born. And the scripture says this joy is not confined to the family of Joseph and Mary, but it will be for every single one. He says, a message that will fill everyone with joy. Let's say everyone with joy. And I pray that today you will learn some things that God will help us with. Amen. So let's begin by answering this question, what is joy? If I ever gave all of you a chance to define it your own way, I do believe that we all have our own definitions of what? Of joy. But I am going to give you a definition as I do always, not from the dictionary, but from my struggles in life and what the Lord has taught me. That joy is a sense of undisturbed peace, purpose, contentment, and well-being, coupled with a positive expectation and anticipation of God's best for my life in every situation. Joy is a sense of undisturbed. Joy is a sense of undisturbed what? Peace. It is a sense of undisturbed purpose. It is a sense of undisturbed contentment. It is a sense of undisturbed well-being. With the mindset that I am anticipating God's best in every situation. In other words, I have a sense of undisturbed peace. I guard my peace. There are many things that can come in to destroy your peace. But joy simply means that I make sure that nothing comes in to disturb my peace. Even though those things may be thrown at me by friends, by people, by circumstances, joy is my sense of undisturbed peace. Because there are moments in your life you realize that everything you touch starts going bad. Have you ever been there? You pray, you fast, nothing is what? And if you are looking to be happy, then the things that are happening is not making you. But joy is a mindset. That in spite of these things, the prophet Habakkuk says it in Habakkuk 3 and 17. He said, though there will be no food in the pen, no, there is nothing going on, yet I will rejoice. In other words, it's a choice you have to make. It's a sense of undisturbed what? Peace, meaning that I will not let anything else come in between me and my peace. Are you hearing me? Including people, including circumstances. Have you ever wake up in the morning and you feel so good until you get to work and somebody start getting on your nerves? Then all of a sudden it looks like the whole sense of joy you had is gone. One person. But joy is a sense of undisturbed. So sometimes I can say, oh, do you mind if I call you back? Because I realize you started disturbing my... Because sometimes we are not bold enough to say no to certain things. So people will disturb your peace. But joy is the sense of undisturbed. Come on, talk to me. The rest of the stuff I'm going to teach you is bookwork. You must understand this. It is my sense of undisturbed what? Peace. You heard the news. And everything they said tells you that bad time is on its way, and all of a sudden, you are hyper because you are looking for things to make you happy. But the person who walks in joy is not looking at what is happening around them. Many things may be happening around me, but I choose to guard my peace. Joy is a sense of undisturbed peace and purpose. I know why I am on earth. I know why I am on earth. So I don't compare myself to the other person. Others may be able to prophesy. I am not good at prophesying. In other words, speaking into the future. Because I am not a prophet and people will gather around prophet, that in itself can take away your joy. But joy is my sense of undisturbed purpose. In other words, I understand who I am, what I have been made to do. That in itself settles my heart. And I'm not going to let anything else take my joy away. Are you hearing me? There are joy drainers. There are things that can take away your joy. In fact, the saints, believers, can take away your joy. Sin can take away your joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that many, many things can take away my joy. But in the midst of all of it, I will be singing, look what the Lord has done. Even though my body is not healed, he is still Jehovah. So you show up in church on Sunday morning and we are worshiping. You are not standing there as if you've been baptized in lemon juice. Waiting. They are singing. Look at how the sisters are singing and praising the Lord. For them, everything is going on well. Really. Because you are looking for happiness. But I am talking about joy. In spite of the things that are taking place, I have a sense of undisturbed what? Purpose. I had a phone call from a brother who is a pastor, and he was asking me, and this is what he was asking. Child, after this Koro thing, people are not coming to church, and it looks like this thing is not working. And I didn't say anything. He said, oh, but you are not saying anything. I said, your problem is that your definition of success is different from mine. I have been called to teach the word, to cut through red tape, to undo foundations. Anytime I take the word of God and I undo foundations, point you to the word of God, I am successful. Period. It is not how many people showed up. Let me ask you a question. I think I've asked you before. In a city of 10 million people, if you have 10,000 of them in your church, what is the percentage here? You think it's 10? 10,000 from 10 million is 0.1. Somebody who is in a village somewhere, and there are 200 people in that village, and 50 people are in that church. What is the percentage here? That's 25%. Who is successful if we are doing statistics? You need to wake up and quit allowing the devil giving you pictures of things. I have a sense of undisturbed purpose. Whenever I open the scriptures, my purpose come alive, and you will not use Numbers. In fact, I have passed the book of Numbers. I'm in Joshua. I'm possessing my possessions. Are you with me today? Joy is a sense of undisturbed what? Peace and purpose. But let me add a third word. It is the sense of contentment. And contentment is not something that comes by itself. You have to learn it. Paul said, I have learned in all things to be content. In other words, when I look at one situation and look at the other situation and look at this person's life and that person's life, I am content. Sometimes when you look at your spouse, you might be depressed because you are hoping that they are a certain way and they are not. And all of a sudden, guys, come on, talk to me. You are looking at some other woman and this other woman fits the kind of picture. But question is, why did you end up with this one in the first place? And this one is giving you a lot of peace. But they don't fit. They don't bring you a lot of money. So you begin to get disturbed. Joy is a sense of undisturbed contentment. So whatever it is that you have, you're going to make the best out of. If you visit me in my office at home, I have a stone in my drawer. And whenever I get discouraged, I go sit there and I pull out the stone and I throw it up. And I said, this is what the Lord has given me. This stone represents my wife. This stone represents my children. This is who the Lord has given me. They may not fit my frame of mind, but God has given me that. And my joy depends on the things that God has given to me. Joy is a sense of undisturbed contentment. In other words, you don't look at other people and jealous them. Somebody met me one time and said, Pastor, as for you, you got it all together. And I said, I am sorry if I gave you that impression, but I don't have it all together. There are days I am a wreck. There are days where I consider this world is not worth living in. Are you listening? There are days I sing songs that are songs of pity party. Then I catch myself and I say, this is not you. The enemy is getting you. Joy is a sense of undisturbed contentment. and well-being. Why am I able to guard all these things? Because I have an expectation, positive expectation. And I am anticipating God's best in every situation. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. What does the Bible say? He said, trust in the Lord. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what would he do? What will God do? Everybody say direct. Like a movie director. If you ever been involved in those who act movies, they will tell you that they always act the end before they start the beginning. God knows the end. From the beginning. He's our director. He knows how the movie will piece together. So that is why you need to look at him and not worry about the part you are playing in the movie. Because when he sits with the rest of the camera crew, he knows how to make the parts fit. And at the end of the day, your character will come out alive. Amen. I am anticipating his best. So the doctor may talk about cancer. The doctor may talk about anything. But I am not disturbed. Joy is a sense of undisturbed peace. I am not disturbed despite what is going on. It is a sense of undisturbed purpose. I know why I'm here. I'm on an assignment. And my assignment has been defined by him. I cannot define my own assignment. You know how sometimes some of us want to define our own assignment? That's what makes you unhappy. You want to be like someone. No, don't be. Be you. Because when you are in the best version of you, people will want to be you. Are you hearing me? When I began preaching and teaching gospel, there were people who told me, boy, you will make it. Why? Because you are just explaining the Bible. You have to know, oh, the Lord did it. He's going to do it again. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Then the keyboard is doing it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless his holy name. I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of no one. But I'm saying that those who do it have it. I don't have that. But that does not define me. I know my assignment. Open one scripture to you. The law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. Kick it with another scripture and another scripture. And once I am done teaching you God's word, I am satisfied. You must understand why you are on earth. If you don't, everything is lottery for you because you are trying something to see which one sticks. And that will not bring joy. Joy is a sense of undisturbed peace. Come on, say it with me. Purpose, contentment, and well-being, coupled with a positive expectation and anticipation of God's best for my life in every situation. So they may have given you a news that they are about to fire you. You don't go into the corner and cry. Even if you cry, you cry a little. And you take charge. And tell yourself, this job does not define me. Are you hearing me today? Because I have a director who will make sure that this firing will fit somewhere else. And when I look at how it ends, everything is going to be all right. Joy is my expectation that no matter what I'm dealing with, my God, your God, our God is going to do something extraordinary. So I don't care. The gas, 1 gallon, can be sold for $10. I will fill my tank. There's a few people that understood. When I came into this city, started this work, I had a position from pastors, I had a position from church members, I had a position from people from my country, I had a position from many places. But I kept my joy because joy is a sense of undisturbed. Come on, talk to me. We're doing this together. Joy is a sense of undisturbed. It did not matter what I heard. I told myself, these people one day will come back and bow before me because they will see what God is doing. Most of us, we want to pray for our enemies to die. I want you to live so you can see how God bless me. Because if you die, then whatever God will do, who sees it? It's you who have to see it. So you can also learn and change so I can come rejoice with you. Are you hearing me? So in your life, as husbands, please be happy with the women you got. I thought that's where all the women would say amen. I said, be happy with the woman you. She may not get the other packages the other people have, but that is what you got. Joy is the sense of undisturbed. Don't let the other person's hoo-ha disturb your peace. You say, this is what I got. Like the stone in my desk, I throw it up and I said, this is what I have. Give me wisdom to manage what I have. Joy is a sense of undisturbed. Come on, talk to me. Peace is a sense of purpose. I know who I am and I know what God wants to do through me. It is a sense of contentment. It is a sense of well-being that I am okay. That I am. Come on, talk to yourself. That I am. Yesterday we were in the kitchen and my wife was talking to me about something. She mentioned a statement. I said, dare. Make sure you talk to yourself a lot. Because David used to say, why are you downcast within me, O my soul? Who was he talking to? His soul. Because that is how sometimes you keep your undisturbed what? Peace. And purpose. And contentment. And well-being. Because you know your God is still on the throne. A quick illustration is in the book of Jeremiah 18. You all have read the story of the potter, right? And the clay. Then later on, God began to explain that he's the potter, and you and I, we are the clay. Now, if you study the whole process of pottery and how they make pottery, you will understand that there is a top disc and a lower disc. The clay is put on the top disc. The disc on the bottom often has a wheel, which is being propelled by a pedal. So the potter sits, put his feet on the pedal, and as he moves it up and down, the disc on the bottom begins to turn around. Once the disc on the bottom turns around, it forces the disc on the top also to turn around, and the potter has his hands on the clay on the top. It means that the faster he moves his leg, the faster the disc spins. Your God is in control of the speed. And as long as you remain in his hands on the top disc, your life will end where it's supposed to end. Life situations, people cannot determine it. Quit worrying about them. I said, quit. And that is why he told the prophet, if a clay gets marred in my hands, I will put it back again. And I will keep working with it. Until it comes to the place where I want it to be. Come on, raise your right hand and say this after me. I am a work in progress. Come on, say it like you mean it. I am a work in progress. Amen and amen. When you get marred on the top disc, God takes his leg off the pedal and then he puts it all together, puts it back, and he begins the process again so you can become what? He wants you to be. Don't let Satan sell you some lie. Joy is a sense of undisturbed peace and purpose and contentment and well-being, coupled with a positive expectation and anticipation of God's best for my life in every situation. In every situation that you face, you will have God's best. Amen. So I want us to look at how choices we make will let us have joy or it will destroy the joy. And using Mary as part of the Christmas story, let's look at the choices that Mary made. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. We are going to read from verses 26 all the way to verse 47, but I will read them in bits and pieces. Luke chapter 1 from 26. 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David, named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered the home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." One of the things that can easily destroy your joy is anxiety, is stress, is fear, is being frightened. But Mary receives a news that is very stressful. Notice how the Bible says that she was a virgin. If you read biblical history, she was between 14 and 15 years old. How can a 14-year-old become a mother? That is a very stressful situation. Don't you think? I know us guys may not get it, but the ladies can tell. Having a baby at 14 or 15? That's not simple. But that is the message she received. And when the angel came in, said, "Oh, the Lord is going to put a baby in your womb." How is Mary going to explain this to her parents? Because as at the time that Mary was going to have a virgin birth, nobody in the world has ever had one. So how is she going to explain it to her parents? "Hey, Papa, I'm pregnant. Mary, you've disgraced us." "Oh, no, 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 no. This is from the Holy Spirit." "What?" Now, I wanted to put this scripture in today's world. Holy Spirit, you're right. You got to be kidding me. Holy, have you seen the Holy Spirit make people pregnant before? It's a very stressful situation, and she's receiving the message. On top of it, she's not married. So can you believe how many people are talking about her? If you're ever going to live for God and follow his plan, people will talk about you. And it will be a stressful situation. Then on top of it, we are told that few days before she's due to have the baby, right? They had to relocate because of the decree of Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus thinks he's powerful, so he's making a decree, but God is using his mouth to fulfill his word, to force Mary to go to the place where the Savior must be born. Don't worry when world leaders start making decrees, because Almighty God might be using their mouth. Then people gather, "We are going to pray and bind this president and bind this king." Who are they? When God Almighty rules all things, the Bible says he stirs the hearts of the kings because their heart is in his hands.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.